Hello, Internet. This is Chase Wassenaar, and welcome to Steam Cleaners, presented by the Rough Drafts Podcast Network. If you are listening to this the day it comes out, Happy New Year. This is our first New Year's Day episode. You know, not often that that the Mondays line up accordingly, but it certainly does this year. Hopefully the holiday season has been treating you and yours very well. I'm sure that Walter and I will have had quite a nice holiday season by the time that y'all are listening to this. But of course, I should introduce my lovely co-host, Walter C80 Svetchuk. Walter, do you have any holiday plans you're excited about?
You know, the partner and I, we're doing the, I'm not working either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day or New Year's Eve or New Year's Day. So for Christmas Eve, we're going to hang out with her family, with her mom, her dad, and then her aunt and that side of the family. Christmas Day is all about, you know, my family, and it'll be nice to like wake up, be able to do presents, kind of relax a little bit. And then instead of me heading to work like I've had to the last couple of years, go to my parents to enjoy Christmas Day. And then obviously for New Year's, I am probably currently either just driving home from Buffalo, or I've been home and am now taking a nap. Because on New Year's Eve, I went to the Buffalo Bills versus the New England Patriots, and then we decided to stay in Buffalo for the evening for some dinner, and they do a ball drop in downtown Buffalo right by the town hall, so by City Hall. So that's what we did. We got a nice hotel down there, and, you know, I think this is going to be our first, like, going out to celebrate New Year's. We're not a very, like, you know, outgoing, bubbly, like, want to go to a ton of parties. So that'll be nice, you know, almost 5 years into our relationship, and we're going to be like, yeah, let's go out for New Year's. But Chase, I know you mentioned to me, and part of the reason we're recording our schedule is a little bit earlier this batch around, is that you're going to Colorado. So how long are you going to be in Colorado for?
I'm doing a 5-day trip. I'll be heading back basically the day after Christmas. Until then, it'll be a nice kind of 5 days with the parents up in Steamboat, where they will be reminded that I am neither an outdoorsy person nor someone who is intrinsically appealed to with snow. Though I've been told apparently they haven't been getting much of snow recently, which is a shame for them and their skiing habits, but really nice for me as someone who is incredibly klutzy and has slipped on the ice frequently when visiting them for the holidays in the past. But, you know, when in doubt, when I am trying to find some time during the holiday season where I can be, you know, around other people but still off in my own little space, you know, I've got my card games that I love to play, Walter. And I brought this up in the pre-call. Will you indulge a Marvel Snap rant for a second?
I have not touched Marvel Snap since May. So by all means, give me the tea. What's been going on in Marvel Snap world?
Well, so here's the thing. First of all, I understand that this is a gacha game that happens to have some cards attached to it, right? I've accepted that this is the game that I play. And I have accepted that we are beyond the days in which easy access to numerous cards every month is something that everyone can do. So I've come to accept that. I have almost everything I would want, honestly. I'm my collection's in a very good spot. But they've done this thing. They have these collection keys now for these special caches, these spotlight caches. And the idea is that the keys will give you a 1 in 4 chance of getting 1 of 4 cards that are available. And if you already have the card, you can get a fancy skin for that card instead, which from my perspective is basically useless. I know skins are great aesthetically, and I like the skins that I have, but you know, I'm really trying to get cards because in exchange for this system that has made it easier to get the newest card that came out, they have gutted your ability to actually gain enough collection tokens to get new cards. It is near impossible to collect the 6,000 tokens that you want without spending any money nowadays. And those tokens are the only way to get cards because there is no crafting system, and you cannot disenchant cards in order to get tokens that you could then use to get the cards you want. That would be crazy. And normally, this does not bother me. But right now, because of this mechanic, I am not able to engage in the most troll strategy that I have seen in a game in a long time. So I'm going to just read out this card for you, Walter, and I want you to tell me. I know you haven't played the game in a while, but you did before, and tell me where you see this card becoming a problem.
Okay.
This is a 2 energy, 0 power card called Havoc.
Okay.
That says, after each turn, you lose 1 max energy, and this gains +4 power. Do you see the problem with this card yet? Or perhaps the degeneracy that is possible with this card?
Can you go into negative max energy?
No, you can't go into negative. What this card will do, right, is you gain a max energy at the end of the turn, and you'll lose a max energy with this, so you'll just be stagnant, right?
Gotcha.
So if you play this on turn 2, you have 2 max energy for the rest of the game.
Gotcha.
For anyone who doesn't play the card game, you scale up to 6 energy, and cards get better as you spend more energy on them, so that's a terrible deal.
Yeah.
16 power to lose that max energy is not worth it. But so have you figured out what would be worth it?
Having multiple copies of that card on the field at once.
Well, that would prevent you from being able to play anything, because then you could, maybe you could go into negatives if you did that. That would be impressive. But no, that is not the degeneracy in this specific case, Walter. There's this card called Viper. Do you remember what Viper does?
Makes it a... Oh, no! Oh,
yeah.
No.
You're goddamn right. You give it to your opponent.
Oh.
And then they don't have any energy anymore.
Fuck.
You just freeze them wherever they're at. It's like, congratulations. Enjoy having 3 mana for the rest of the game. I'm going to go do all my cool shit. And oh, by the way, I'm going to run Shang-Chi so I can kill your Havoc on the last turn so you don't even get the benefit of that guy. I want it so bad. I've never they took away my Hazmat combo deck by nerfing Luke Cage, so I can't make my enemy's board like -20, -36, -18 anymore. So the least they can do is allow me to get this Havoc guy so that I can make my opponent unable to play the card game anymore. And they won't give it to me because they are cruel and unusual, and I do not appreciate it, Second Dinner.
Yeah, I'm glad I stopped fucking playing that game.
See, that's not even the card that's like causing the most damage right now. That's just like a niche way to be cruel to your opponent. The one that's destroyed the game and its balance is the Blob, which is 6 energy. 4 power, but it gains the power of every card left in your deck and absorbs it.
Yep, I've seen the Blob. I still take a look at the Marvel Snap subreddit. I've seen the Blob. I've seen the bullshit that you do with it. Again, I'm glad I don't play that fucking game anymore.
Yeah, it's
miserable, miserable, fucking miserable.
Man, well, I could be playing Legends of Runeterra, which has the new Elder Dragon champion that has the text line, I cannot be stopped, which is my favorite text line in all of card games. But you know what, Walter, we're not here to discuss card games. We're here to discuss some games that we've been playing. But unlike every other episode of the year, because this is, I guess technically it's the first episode of 2024, but it's closing out 2023 for all intents and purposes. So this is the one where we each played a thing that the other person has already played on the show to get a fresh perspective and a new look on a game that when we heard someone talk about it, we thought, that sure sounds interesting. I would like to try it for myself. So Walter, of the many games that I have played on this show over the past year, which was the one that called out to you the most for this episode?
Well, see, Chase, we have played, I'm looking at your list, and I have played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games Before the game, 7, 8 games from your list this year, I have already played.
Wow.
I played Speed Dating for Goats, for Ghosts. Uh-huh. We mentioned it. I really liked it. We obviously had the triple play there, back in August and September of Penny Larceny, Stray Guides, and WrestleQuest. I have played Renowned Explorers International Society back when it came out. Oh, wait, there's 9. I've played NFL Street 2. I played Doomsday Paradise with you. That's a lot. It's taken a lot off of here. And looking at your list, like, there were a couple that definitely stood out to me. Marvel's Midnight Suns was one. I own the game. I probably would have been a contender here. Wild Frost, I seem to remember being relatively interesting. That could have been a contender. But... you know, 2 episodes ago, you played Thirsty Suitors and you reminded me of Thirsty Suitors. And I immediately went and bought the game after that episode. And that's what I played for this. That's what I said I was going to do. That's what I was going to play. So I played Thirsty Suitors.
I'm very glad that you did, because this is one of those games I said at the time I want people to go out and support, because I want to encourage developers who are willing to take new angles on classic genres, telling stories that maybe we don't get nearly as much as we would typically like, just because of the nature of how AAA game development works. So I guess, obviously, like, you have some expectations just from what we talked about a couple weeks ago on the show about Thirsty Suitors, which is, of course, a game that kind of serves as a hybrid of your turn-based strategy game with some dating sim-esque elements, with some skateboarding-esque elements. Did anything surprise you as you were playing the game, from your expectations and what your experience ended up being?
So I think the actual, like, the plot, right? And I remember bringing that up to you, that one of the things that worried me about it was the Scott Pilgrim of it all, right? Mm-hmm. Does it do the Scott Pilgrim thing where it tries to vindicate the main character? Does it try to vindicate Jala and, you know, kind of make it, it's not really like her fault. And then it's the second go through or the second time watching where you're like, oh no, actually they're a horrible person. And it doesn't, it you know, you said it on the podcast, it doesn't pull the punches on this of Jala fucked up. Right. Mm-hmm. She is coming home again. I'm quoting you directly, tail between her legs. Right. She got kicked out. Which I wish there had been some more exploration into that relationship, like what happened, but it actually sounds like the woman that she was dating, like, convinced her to leave everyone and was probably abusive. Like, there is a moment towards the end of the game where you finally do talk to your sister and your sister is, like, at fault and it, like, blames herself for letting you go with that woman and, like, all of these things, mm-hmm. which, like, I want a little bit more detail about what happened here. Everything really matched a lot of what you said on the podcast in terms of what my expectations were. I think the roughest thing for me, though, is absolutely how stiff and rough the skateboarding felt. I played Skatebirds last year, and I'm pretty sure that felt better than this did in terms of skateboarding. It felt very kind of like glued on in terms of, we need to give Jala some additional identity. What's something that would be interesting? Oh, the skateboarding. I even think the stuff with the bear and, you know, the amusement park skate park feels very like, I know it's a big part of your relationship with Tyler and, like, how you interact with Tyler, the main love interest, but it just doesn't, it doesn't feel very cohesive to me. It feels very like, we need to add some more gameplay to this game. So here, let's create this other storyline and add the skateboarding, and which is a real bummer. Like skateboarding, it's kind of hard to translate to, you know, a controller or a keyboard and mouse. Like, I understand that, but I never felt good doing it. and I ended up giving up on a lot of the, not all of them, but like the latter few of the skateboarding challenges, particularly after like it already figured out, like I couldn't investigate the park anymore. Like I ran into the same problem you did. The bear cubs, I solidified their standing with the bear mascot, and he
oh,
is.
Oh no.
And I meant to, before we started this, go and look to try and figure out what the ending was, like how that changed. But yeah, I don't know. The game did not feel very like, didn't really tell me how to deal with that. Like, you know, and you get to the final fight with Tyler, and like, I let Tyler beat me the first time, because I'm like, oh, I wonder if there's something here if you like let her just beat the shit out of you. And it's like, oh no, there's nothing. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I actually do have to like go through the fight, and the outcome doesn't matter. Right, it does. The outcome doesn't change. I make the fight, which also feels like a little bit of a letdown, right? Because that was kind of like what I was doing, was like I'm coming back to these people hat in hand, and it really feels like with Tyler, she's the one that deserves to beat the ever loving shit out of you, right? Mm-hmm. Like she should win that fight. You should be allowed to stand there and take all of the punches from her, and be like, no, you're right. Like I fucked you, like, and I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And I am here to take my punishment.
Yeah, it is, you know, I think that there is a, you know, there are a lot of elements being juggled, right? And as you said, you know, the skateboarding didn't work out as well as the others. I do think that like there is an inherent issue with a genre in which there's meant to be a solution that stems as a result of a fight sequence, right? Because you ultimately, like, you have these different taunts and things, and, you know, they all have their own angle to them, right? The thirsty taunt, you kind of mock them for being into you, or the shocking taunt where you try to get under their skin by doing something particularly provocative, right? And so within the world of the game, you are meant to have this this kind of antagonistic angle to it. But the goal of these boss fights is to find common ground and reconcile. So depending on the path that you took from a gameplay perspective to do it, and how quickly and effectively you were able to do it, I agree with you. It can sometimes lead to feeling a little bit flat. Especially if you're particularly good at the fight sequences and able to beat bosses quickly, because I'm sure there was dialogue I just didn't get to because the fights didn't take long enough, because I kind of understood how the mechanics were working. So you kind of explored there the things that didn't work for you. What did work for you? What were the things that you ended up coming away and enjoying from this experience?
The story. The plot, the characters, the actual, you know, interaction of Jala with these people that she's wronged, you know, and across the board, everyone that she's wronged, and how they all treat her differently, right? You know, even the aunt, even Auntie Chandra, like, even she's just like, yeah, like, you left town, like, I'm hurt by that, but also, like, I get why you did it, right? And the different levels of, like, pain of what Jala did and how they handled it and how they treat her coming back, right? Auntie Chandra and her father are very, like, instantly forgiving, right? Instantly, like, hey, I get what you had to do. And I think there's something to be said for how they truly portray those two characters as very different from everyone else, right? He is, you know, her father is Sri Lankan and is, you know, it comes from a different culture than the mother and is seen very much as an outsider. His sister, a lesbian, like, again, very much kind of seen as an outsider. And you have this nice interplay of kind of their backgrounds and how they kind of, you know, came together and what happened when she came out and how that, you know, how his interaction with his sister coming out of the closet then changes what his interaction is with Jala coming out of the closet, you know? The much more traditional people in the game are way more critical of those decisions, and it's not about how Jala individually harmed someone like her mother, but it's more of like the larger how you wronged the family unit as a whole. Again, mainly speaking about her mother, her sister, and her grandmother. And then the variety among the exes, and the differing types of love that are experienced, right? The, you know, the first love, the young, we kissed for the first time in kindergarten type thing, you know, experimental love, like all of these different things and how they're portrayed and given their very different personalities and interactions and the fights themselves and the dualities of what they are dealing with, very, they mirror what Jala is feeling and what she's been going through in her life exceptionally well, and showing their flaws but also their strengths, so you can understand, like, oh, I could see why Jala would fall in love with this person, but I could also see why then, like, they would let that person go, because those positives, those strengths then eventually become negatives, right? There is, you know, again, the first kid is like, yeah, he's very loving, like, you're his first love, he's like dedicated, you know, this amour, like, I will do anything for your love, but like, hey, I get it, it could be fucking smothering, and like, you come back, you guys have like your fight, you make up, and he's immediately like, so you want to get married again? Like, I can understand how you'd be like, whoa, slow the fuck down. And then again, the portrayal of Tyler being like, I'm fucking using you like you used me in our adolescence to try and, you know, get this scoop on the skate park because you have it in with them, and you know, avoids everything, avoids all the confrontation, shuts you down at every point where you're like, we need to talk. She's like, no, we don't. Like, we don't need to talk. I have nothing to say to you. And then when she finally gets the emotional outburst, again, I just wish that's, you know, plot point had given you the option of like letting her win, right? And acquiescing to her and just being like, I fucked up, right? And that sort of binary, like, well, it's a fight, you have to win it type thing is a little frustrating. But I wanted to spend a lot more time with these characters, right? I really wanted more time in the game. It's disappointing that it's an 8-hour game and I probably spent 2.5 of those hours doing skateboarding stuff. Like, man, there could be so much more depth to this.
Yeah, I do think that, you know, even something like just expanding the quest that you can do for each individual person, right? Like, you know, because you are able to like try to build friendships, or even, you know, there's an implied flirtation angle, if you would like, with some of these exes, and the ability to like engage deeper with them. I'm forgetting the name. There's the super nice guy with the cat who's very protective. Ifram, thank you. And I love like the side plot with Ifram's sister, who's like, you know, very justifiably also mad at what happened to her brother. And she's like, well, he may have forgiven you, but I haven't, because I saw what happened to my brother as a result of your actions during the toughest part of our lives growing up. And like, what a powerful sequence that is to like flesh out that dynamic. It's not just enough that she screwed over this really nice guy and allowed him to take this massive reputational hit during a time in which his personal life was falling apart due to some family illness. But also like the effect that has when you see it weigh on a sibling that you care about and who you're now relying on. And, you know, you watch them like try to take the high road on that. Like, fuck that. They don't deserve the high road. I don't know. There's something very powerful about those sequences, and I wish we got more of them. I wish, you know, we had more stuff like the dancing mini game that you get with a couple of the characters, where you have to kind of like match their rhythm, and, you know, maybe you could have done some more cooking stuff with them, because I thought the cooking mini game was pretty well handled, and it would be cool to have moments where you're like having extended conversations with these exes the same way you are with your parents in that kind of setting. That back and forth repartee could have been really cool. And you wouldn't even have to, you know, program anything more into the game for that, right? You would have just needed to write an alternate dialogue sequence for cooking with them specifically rather than just cooking for them. So definitely some stuff that could have been expanded upon in a way that would have brought things together. How did you feel about the ending? Because as those of you who listened to that podcast where we talked about it will recall, I had some mixed feelings about like the way they chose to shift the focus at the ending. And I'm curious what did and didn't land for you on that front.
Yeah, the fight with the grandmother, it feels unnecessary, but it's a video game and they need a final boss and they need something to like do at the end. And you're not going to fight your sister, right? It makes no sense for it to be a fight against your sister. And I will say, like, I was frustrated by the mechanics of like, oh, well, you have to lose. And then like you go back and you get everybody's help, right? Like I get that, like, the Avengers thing. Cool, interesting, nice. Like, I didn't use items for like the entire game anyways, and now you're just giving me items to use. Like, oh, cool. Like, it's fine. It's, you know, the ending is what you would hope of this sort of like, how do you break generational trauma type thing. And it's nice to see the mother finally like understand where Jala and Aruni are coming from. I know you said, oh, when I said, I don't think you needed to fight the sister, like, cause you don't, right? Like, your sister's mad at you, but I think the conversation that you have in the diner, like, is it, right? It's not that she's mad at you, right? It's not that she's furious at you and never wants to see you again. It's that she didn't realize that, like, she had to process her feelings right then and there, and she needed some time, right? And that's what she says. Like, she convinced the exes to go get in your way so she could have her time to go through her emotions because, you know, Chase, you have a sibling. Like, it sucks to actually get into a fight with your siblings. Like, it's not fun to do that. And sometimes, like, rather than get into the fist fight or the, you know, verbal argument back and forth, like, sometimes you'd be like, hey, could I get an extra minute here to like process myself and then come to you and be like, listen, this is how I feel, and let me give you the exposition for how I feel, and, you know, let me explain myself, and then we can be fine, right? Like, one of the questions that you can ask her is like, do you hate me? Right. Mm-hmm. And like, that is such a like, yeah, you like ran away and your sister would be totally justified to hate you. And your sister's like, of course I don't fucking hate you. And like, I feel like if there's a fight there, there is that in the back of the head is like, well, why is she actually fighting you? Like, does she hate you? That I don't think needs to be said. Right. Especially when your inner voice was your sister. And as someone who has experienced an inner voice that is incredibly critical of themselves and I wish I could get into a physical fist fight with, I think that part of the game was when she's sitting down and has the talk with her inner voice, the options you have of like, I hate you, I love you, like, I'm sorry, are, I get that, that's the part of this game that like cut me the most of like, can you forgive your inner voice? Right. And how do you forgive it? Do you just say, I forgive you, I don't forget you, give you? Or do you recognize that like self-love includes loving that part of yourself in deep down inside that you kind of hate? So I just don't think that needs to be a fight.
That's fair. I guess I just felt like I had such a stronger emotional connection to that angle and that had been building so much with all of the distractions and everything that compared to your grandma, who's basically not in the game until the very end and is only talked about as being intimidating for your mom, it would have felt a little bit more thematically appropriate to me. But, you know, perhaps it's just like sometimes I think there's a catharsis that you can find in those kinds of like those fights, as tough as they can be. But you're right. Like, they, like, that's not the story that this game is telling. And I think the decision not to fight does say a lot about, like, a refutation of the inner voice and the form that it took on, right? Like, she saw, you know, Jala saw it as Aruni because Jala feels guilt towards letting her sister down. And she believes that her sister would hate her and be disappointed in her. And it's an easy way to channel those feelings of self-loathing. So, yeah, totally subverting that and having the player realize like, oh no, this is, you have imagined this sister to be a much scarier person than she is, because that's the fear that Jala has and having to face up to that side of it in a relationship that clearly matters so much to her. it certainly works that way. I see where you're coming from on that. Even if it makes me then think, well, maybe you could have had an extended fight sequence with your inner voice, right? If we agree that these fights, as they're built within the game, are ultimately designed to bring some level of catharsis and understanding, the inner voice probably would have been better off than the grandma in that regard. But we have the game that we have. Do you have any other final thoughts before you want to put a score to this and whether you recommend it?
I mean, my final thoughts are go fucking play this game. Like, I am going to buy this game for a friend of ours because I think she would enjoy it, right? And I think it would be good for her to play it, right? I highly recommend this game. I fucking love this game. I mean, I'm just looking at everything I played this year, and outside of maybe Dredge, you know, if I'm going through everything I played this year, my top three for the year are probably this, Dredge, God of War, right? And I don't know what the ordering is, but those are, and Lego Builder's Journey, that's definitely a weird, but that the first game of the year is so high up there as well. But that one definitely would get an honorable mention. But yeah, like, I fucking super, super recommend this game. Go buy it. Go fucking buy it right now. Pause the podcast. Go buy it. Go fucking play it. Yeah. And then harass us on the internet.
Yeah. You know, I think by the time this is done, it will no longer be on Game Pass. But I hope people who heard the episode previously at least got to enjoy it that way, because I thought it was really cool to see it featured in that kind of larger collection and get a chance in front of a larger audience, because the things it does well, it does really, really well. And I can't wait to see a sequel that builds off this game's strengths, maybe one that doesn't have the skateboarding and focuses on the rest of it. But I'm glad you enjoyed it, man. That's great.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm really happy that you reminded me of its existence, because this very easily could have fallen down the, like, oh shit, yeah, I remember that game. Oh wow, it's been on my wish list for 2 years. Maybe I should play it now. And I'm really glad I got to play it as close to it coming out as possible. But with that being said, Chase, I am really excited to hear about your God of War thoughts. So how did you enjoy playing God of War?
Yeah, so here's the thing. I may or may not have let the idea that this is our end of the year plan that we did last year as well. Like, I should have seen this coming, that we play a game that the other person has played. I may have let that kind of slip my mind a little bit until we were a week out of doing exactly that show. I've been playing a couple other things in the background. I have several games that I've got a backlog on, because the one that I am playing right now is a game that I both really love and am not particularly good at, which is a terrible combination of things if you're trying to beat something in a timely fashion for a podcast, especially if it's something you enjoy enough that you really want to get completionist with it. But the good news, Welcher, is that you had a game that I've wanted to play that I bought for myself on the most recent Steam sale, which it turns out I didn't need to do, because as of time of recording, it is free on Amazon, through Twitch Prime. So if you don't have it, and it's still available on Twitch Prime, go get this one, which is Behind the Frame, The Finest Scenery, which just, I mean, it was exactly as you sold it. Just gorgeous art and Ghibli style animation behind a puzzle game that I found entrancing from start to finish.
So I do have to ask, is it just you were finding something that would be quick to play and have done in time for the game? Or was there something initially that sort of drew you to this, that you were like, yes, that, you know what, I'm glad I remembered that this was a game Walter played so I could play it?
Oh yeah, to be clear, I was always going to play this. I thought the concept itself was great. I love the art design, and I like a good puzzle game, and I like indie games that feel like they are digestible, you know, that you can play it in a couple hours and get a fully fledged experience. Like I said, I bought it on the Steam sale before I knew that, before I remembered, I should say. I knew, I just didn't remember that this was the conceit for this particular episode, right? So I was going to play it regardless. I was excited for it. I just given the time constraint, I knew of all the games of yours that I was looking at to pick back up, given it would be weird and lame of me to pick something like Undertale or Slay the Spire that I played before you had gotten a chance to play it. Anyway, it just felt right. It just kind of all things aligned in that regard, which is good because this is a game in which, it's very, like most puzzle games, you're kind of piecing the story and the individual bits of it together as you go along. And I have to say, I was not expecting kind of the twists and turns that this came into. Mostly because I think you did a very good job of talking around a lot of individual plot points to make sure that people could go in fresh, which I'm going to take a sledgehammer to very shortly. So
that is fair because I told people to play this back in August. So I think we're good on spoilers. But yeah, that was my intention. I didn't want to spoil it because I did feel like this was such a game up your alley that's like, I know the things you like, and it's not a card game, it's not a relationship sim, anything like that, but I know you love puzzles, and that was like what I was trying to like get you with, is like puzzle, mm-hmm. story, yeah. narrative, yeah. intrigue, and I'm really excited. What did you think of the story?
I mean, I thought it was great. It was like, every really good story, it challenged me in a couple of places, right? Because this is a story about letting go in a lot of ways, especially the Jack DLC that you can play after you've beaten the kind of main storyline. To kind of give the quick overview, right? You are playing as this female artist who is trying to apply for a program that she thinks will allow her to get her art highlighted in a big exhibit. And she's trying to finish this piece that she has planned out in her book. But you have to kind of find the paints over time to flesh out each individual section. And you do so bit by bit, day by day, by completing puzzles that refer back to both just things around your house, but also to this neighbor you have across the street that doesn't seem to respond to you, but seems to have a lot of the same paintings as you. Seems to have a lot of connections that that the more you look into, the more you start to uncover that there is indeed a relationship there. A relationship that she has forgotten to some extent. Which that was my first instinct was like, damn, how do you forget a relationship that was this meaningful to you, right? Like, obviously they had grown up together very close, or not grown up together. They were young adults in the same town as they were building their art skills up, and they grew as artists together. In these like very gorgeous scenes of like going out into the meadows with these purple flowers, and all these like individual moments, their chance meeting in the rain in front of this cafe. And then you keep playing and you realize like, oh, I don't think she's around anymore. I don't think this is a person that, I think this is a person kind of dislodged from the world itself. And this isn't just about her letting go of her, creative shortcomings and the writer's, artist block that she's run into, but it's letting go, culminating in this like in memoriam style art exhibit, that is, hosted by her once at least close friend, probably dating, Jack, who is now this old man. And it's like, oh, the reason he's not responding to her is because he can't hear her, because she's not really there. And that was a like mind blown kind of realization where it's like, okay, this is how you make these puzzles feel not just suited well on an emotional level, but also suited well in a purely textual level, right? She is uncovering the truth behind herself and her art. And man, it's weird that her stuff never saves, right? And it's weird that, you know, these paintings all seem to match up in this weird way. And then suddenly her apartment's just destroyed and there's no way out. And like, you, like, she is trapped in her own sense of loss and living in this past. And she and Jack both have to learn to let go. Jack does so much more in like a contemporary place, right? He does so as a younger person still, you know, makes the choice not to go to her art exhibit in the big city and to focus on building his own kind of life for himself. But yeah, that kind of metaphysical level with her was something I was not prepared for and found as a really pleasant surprise when I realized what this game was actually about.
Yeah, there is some definite universe manipulation here, right? Of what you are seeing. And I do think the DLC adds a lot of like additional context. So I, you know, highly recommend playing it, and it's hard to find sometimes. Like I think when we recorded that episode, I didn't play the Jack DLC. I think I hadn't found it, and then I found it after the fact, or I found it while I was had Wikipedia open. I was like, oh my god! And I think I say that on the podcast, like I missed part of the game, and I went back and I played it. It is like, it is just so weird early on where you're like, you're seeing the pieces there. And when you finally finish it, you're like, oh, here's everything I missed. Right. And it's not that I missed it. It's that it was sitting there in plain sight, but the red yarn hadn't been attached to it yet. Right. You didn't have the understanding of everything there. And to look at it as sort of this like letting go and, you know, in memory and respecting memory type game is it's beautiful, and the game is beautiful, right? The art is beautiful, and I feel like the art almost distracts you from the story that you're going through until like her apartment gets destroyed, and then you're like, whoa, what the fuck happened? Like, this was just like a cute color in the Lions game with a little bit of like, oh, I wonder what's going on here, and then like something bad really happens, you're like, holy fuck, dude, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah. And those details, like, I don't remember that cupboard that's clearly on this wall. And why do I not remember that I'm the person in these photos? And it's like, yeah, I mean, if you are kind of a spirit who is still roaming this place because you have some unresolved business you've been unable to let go, like, that is the subconscious manifesting itself through these puzzles that you need to piece together. You need to figure it out for yourself. But damn, can it be tough to do? But it's you know, that's one of those, like, you're right, you don't think about it that way because there's no reason to believe that there's a supernatural element to it in those first few chapters. You know, maybe the neighbor's just a little bit rude, right, and just doesn't want to talk to his other artist neighbor, like, you don't know. Or maybe he's just sick and hard of hearing and can't put it together. And when you realize not only is that not the case, but also that guy is way more important to your character specifically, and you're unable to pass on until he passes on, there's something really powerful there. This idea that this man, even despite their like kind of, you know, disconnecting at one point, because she goes on to pursue this dream of hers that leaves him behind, like, he still mattered that much to her that she lingered as long as he did. And that relationship stands the test of time because it's forever included in the art. But then you go to Jack's section, right? And it has this very, like, parallel lesson, but still a very different one, right? Like, because he is, at the time that you're playing Jack, he is very much still alive, and he's responding to mail and writing letters and doing the kinds of things that, like, we know he is still, you know, he hasn't grown up into the old man that we see kind of pass out in his apartment during the main game. And the lesson there is, like, you're not able to move on until you stop chasing after the people who may have mattered to you for a long time, but who you now need to let go. And, you know, I'll just be honest from my own kind of, you know, sentimentality perspective. I struggle to let go of things that matter to me. You know, I'm the kind of person that will cling on with everything I have because it matters to me. You know, you fight for those things that matter to you. That's just kind of the way I've always been wired. And this game, like the Jack DLC in particular, the firm message at the end there is you will sometimes miss the beauty of what's around you until you let it go. And his best piece of art comes not from any of the stuff that involves her, but it's the piece that he makes when he lets her go, when the umbrella that was once the thing that she always carried with her is now just laying there on the frozen street. And that's really powerful, right? Both the piece itself, right? The idea of that dropped umbrella and what that means, in the same way that, you know, any of us would have, you know, get, you know, there are strong emotions when you see like an abandoned wheelchair somewhere, right? Like something has gone, like there's a very clear story being told just environmentally, but also this idea that like he couldn't be successful and he couldn't live up to his own potential until he stopped trying to capture the things that he loved when he was with her.
That scene, I don't want to interrupt you, but I need to stay in this moment. So that scene, I somehow bugged the game and the umbrella didn't show up. And it was like,
well, did you...
10 minutes of me chasing her. And it almost fucking broke me.
That's not a bug, my dude. The only way the umbrella responds is when you stop clicking on her. That's how that segment works.
I mean, that's what I found out. But I, like, couldn't fucking figure it out. I didn't realize it. And I had to, like, I closed out of the game because I thought I bugged it, right? And then I go look it up and they're like, oh, yeah, you just have to, like, wait a few seconds. And I was like, oh, that says a lot about me.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Because, yeah, it's like, because that's our instinct, right? We need to chase after this person who matters and who we now have a connection to because we played the main game. And, you know, you, like, I think maybe this is just the way that, like, you know, you could say the Hollywood stories are just, like, I think there's a very human element, right? We want the happy ending. We want the ending where the two people who are both very nice, very talented artists who come together and they find their way back to each other and they all live happily ever after. That's the kind of, like, Hollywood story that we're all, I think, at least some of us are very inclined towards. I don't want to say everybody, but I think a lot of people will resonate with that, right? So many, the entire romance genre of films and novels and TV shows, whatever, are all built on that idea that, like, you know, sure, sometimes you have to let love go, but when it's meant to be, it finds its way back to you, right? And this game says, it's, I mean, to a certain extent, in that these people continue to be influential in your world, but that doesn't mean that you end up together. It doesn't mean that you are able to find some solution or that the solution is even worth finding. Sometimes you have to go behind that and find whatever comes next. And you have to be okay with that. You have to be willing to let that go, not because you think that that means you can find your way back, but because finding your way back isn't the point. Because it's not about finding a thing, it's moving forward and finding new things.
The people that, like, come into your life in general, right? And I don't mean just romantically, but I mean in general, they teach you something, right? I am very much a believer, and I'm sure some quote about it's in a movie, but, like, I am a believer of, like, there is no such thing as, like, a singular soulmate, but, like, I believe in soulmates, right? I believe in people that you are supposed to meet and, you know, become very good friends with or fall in love with or have these attachments or mentors, like all of these things. Like, there are people that you are supposed to come in contact with and you are supposed to learn things about yourself, about, you know, other people, about the universe, like about all these things, and that you are the sum product of all of the experiences that you have. I hate the questions of like, if you could go back to when you were 11 years old and give yourself a piece of advice or like change something in the past, like what would you do? I hate those things, because if you did that, you would be an entirely different person than you are right now. It's the butterfly right. effect, right? And it's such a cop-out. Mm-hmm. When people like ask me those questions and like team bonding things, I'm like, well, no. They're like, that's a cop-out answer. I'm like, but it's the fucking truth.
Right.
And this is such a game that like solidifies that with me of like, Jack thought this woman was like his soulmate. And it's like, yes, she was. And then she left to continue her life. And you have to take something from that because it's valuable, right? Because the relationship, because the friendship, all of these things are valuable. And you have to bring something away from that, because not every friendship, not every relationship, you know, not every mentor-teacher relationship, not any of these things are going to last forever. And if all you have is like a name of someone and like, oh yeah, I used to know that person, like that person really didn't mean all that much. But if you go, yeah, I had a teacher in kindergarten that was the first person to like realize that I like didn't understand how something worked and like taught me how to learn, right? Like that's something you carry with you for the rest of your life. And this game, it's letting go. Right. That is what Jack ultimately is supposed to learn, is how to let go and how to accept the gifts and the memories and the special times. Right. And how to then use that to enrich the rest of his life, which is just something truly, truly beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And yeah, it's going to stick with me for a while, man. This is one of those where I went in thinking it would be one thing, got that kind of twist in recognizing that there was something even deeper going on beneath the surface, and then going even further than that with the Jack DLC, there's just like, because you can do both, right? You can let go and acknowledge that the world is different now and that your life is different, and it needs to be different because things happen and you have to move on and you have to find the beauty in where you're at. But it doesn't mean that that person stopped impacting you. And I think, you know, the art pieces, like there's a reason that, you know, some of those art pieces of his do have those character connections, but also that the one that resonates the most with people is the one where he lets go. And also we still get that like in memoriam piece of her that he draws at the end there, because now he's at a place where she can be an inspiration without being something that holds him back from his own growth. You know, he has moved on, not because she didn't matter, but because she did, because what she taught him and the like world that he can, you know, that he's able to inhabit, you know, it was changed by her, but it's not defined by her. And both of those things are true. And I don't know. I think that's the kind of lesson that I think almost everybody can connect with. I certainly think it's one that is really important to be told. Yeah, I mean, just what a powerful game, and what a beautiful way to represent it. And I mean that both in the literal and metaphorical sense. It is a beautiful game, and one that is able to capture a lot of emotions, including some really bittersweet ones. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for this experience, and I really look forward to seeing whatever this developer does next. You know, I think publisher Akapura Games has a lot of really talented companies that have worked on it, but I don't know anything quite like this one. And they do have a new game coming out at some point called The Star Named Eos, and I cannot wait to play it. It's got a completely different art style, but it looks incredible in its own right. It's got a photography angle to it rather than the same art style that we've got here, so they're clearly playing around with different things. But it's a different publisher, but it's the same studio, and it's coming out in spring of 2024. So I've added that to my list. But I'm also going to just recommend now, like, I mean, obviously go play this. I don't know that I even need to say that I recommend this game, because at this point, if you don't know, I don't know what's happening here. I don't know any better way to explain how much this game impacted me and how thankful I am that you played it so that I could go play it. Because I don't know. I mean, not to get like too much in the weeds and too personal or whatever, but like, as someone who just lost his job a few months ago in an industry that I've had a huge amount of connection to and have struggled to figure out like what I want to hold on to, what I want to take with me, what I want to move on from, what I need to move on from, like, could not have come at a more important time. In terms of processing, not just the relationship angle of it, because of course, anytime a huge life change happens, you have the relationships that will change as well. But even just like the understanding of being able to move on and find peace in that, just really good stuff, really good game. And hopefully, y'all listeners will find this to have been a really good podcast and a good way to spend your New Year's. Thank you guys so much for listening. You know, we've got plenty more games that we're excited to talk about in the year ahead. And we hope that you and yours had a lovely holiday season. Walter, if people wanted to talk to you about either of the games we talked about today or any other games that we talk about on the show, where can they find you?
Listen, it's masculine to cry. There's nothing wrong with crying at video games or movies or things that make you feel emotional. With that being said, you can find me at C80s_LOL on Twitter. You can find me at C80s.bsky.social on Blue Sky. You can also find the podcast at Rough Drafts Pod on Twitter or at roughdraftspodcast.bsky.social. I finally did it, you fuckers. I told you I'd do it for Christmas. It's been available since the Christmas episode of the Final Cut podcast, where we had Chase's friend Justin on, and we talked about Silent Night, a John Woo movie with no dialogue, where Joel Kinnaman goes and kills a gang on Christmas Eve. Yeah, that's the plot. That's what you need to know about that. You can listen to that either in the Final Cut feed or in the combined Rough Drafts podcast feed that also includes Steam Cleaners. Or if you're not interested in the movies, just hang out in the Steam Cleaners feed, because, you know, we'll be back in 2 weeks with two new games. I know it's the holiday season, but Chase and I don't take any time off.
Hey, I appreciate the work that you put in to get these edited and out despite the holidays. So I will thank you preemptively for that, just as I will thank all of our lovely listeners for all the listens over the last year. Yeah, very excited for the year of content that we have coming up. I can't believe you made me retweet a 28-3 joke. Really, really cruel of you to do that, but certainly happy to have a place that isn't Twitter to connect with y'all. So hopefully you'll follow us over there. Hopefully you'll be back in 2 weeks, where we talk about two completely different games than games we've talked about so far on this show. So come back then. But until next time, goodbye, Internet.